That is the gospel. And the gospel is not about when you die, you go to heaven. No, you go to there for a while, it's a holding place. Gospel is about one day, there is this king, savior. He happened to be your savior, but he's also your bridegroom. He's your king. He's your judge too. He's going to come back and establish a kingdom of God here on earth one more time. He's bringing us back to what he has planned for us in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. That's what it is about. But everything centered around this issue, who is Jesus? Bridegroom, king, and judge. Then we understand. That is the whole counsel of the gospel. Let me tell you this. After all these years, I understand what the gospel is all about and kingdom of God all about more than I ever have. No, the people are saying, Kichong, don't get into this end time thing. It's very narrow and so on. We don't understand. We don't. Okay? We don't. That's why that is Satan's strategy to bring distortion, to bring confusion. And then many things begin to fall in place. Why Israel? Why this? Why that? Why house of prayer? You know, house of prayer, God, I tell you, if you will never fully understand what the house of prayer is about, if you don't understand it in the context of about Jesus is going to return. That is in the context of global prayer movement that God is raising. No, God is not just going to raise up a global prayer movement just because church has to revive. There are many revivals all over the world. Throughout ages, this is more than just about a revival. This is about birthing a transitions, birthing someone who is about to return. So that we understand, we still have to pray for church growth and so on, but that this is not the primary issue. The primary issue is something is about to transit. A person is about to come back. More than just your church will multiply by double, triple, or tenfold, something is going to be totally changed. Here on earth, there is a king that's going to return. There's a judge that's going to bring forth justice throughout the whole earth. And that he happened to be a bridegroom that you're going to marry to. Wow, what a great story. And we will live happy. Like never get it right because it's a long time since I watched a fairy tale. What? Say it one more time. Yeah, happily ever after. Probably Mingo will do it better than me. Or even Elizabeth will do it better than me. Okay, never mind. Okay. So we have to understand. But that's why this message is so vital to us. Because one of the strategy of the Holy Spirit in preparing church is he's raising up the forerunners to proclaim this message. Who is Jesus? Tell me the Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Now, this is huge. I love it. No, this is not just about, I proclaim a message, but that you can't proclaim this message. You can't. Until you know this man in your heart. You have a relationship. No, I tell you, I'm looking forward to the call this year because I just remember when I came back, about 10 years. I came back from Kansas City about 10 years ago. Yeah, it's going to be actually past 10 years. I told the Lord, 10 years from now, I pray by your grace, 10 years from now, I'm going to talk about Jesus. I just remember recently. That's why I put on my Facebook, wow, this year the call is about Jesus. No, I didn't plan. I'll be really smart if I can plan 10 years ahead. Who is Jesus? Wow, turn to me to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 14. No, today I'm just going to go very brief because there's no time, no way I can go. Anyway, I talked about it two years ago when we talked about, I think last year, Encounter God, where we spent time about, talk about who is God the Father, who is Jesus, where I think 10 sessions or 12 sessions about who is Jesus. So if you need to understand more about Bridegroom, King, and Judge, go back to the teaching. Okay, tell me the Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, where God promised he's going to raise up forerunners to prepare the church. No, not just so that we understand end time, so that we know what is coming. No, one of the fundamental message, vital message, is make sense of who Jesus is and his second coming, so that we will prepare. When I say prepare, I never dare to say that we are much better. No, we are struggling too. Just that we are preparing right now, and then the same say, meanwhile, I know a little bit about who this Jesus is. Just, well, do you want to know? And so on. So when we do the call conference, not like, I know it all. No, it's like, I know a little bit. You want to hear? Here, come. You want to come? That's why you need to charge $10. We are not that much better than you. No, I'm just kidding. Nothing to do with the money. Okay. Isaiah 40. That we will prepare people. Make sense of who this Jesus is at his second coming so that we will respond rightly according to the heart of God. I'm going to run through the whole verse because I ran through this passage, one of the sessions where I talk about what is a forerunner. Okay. Let me read from verse 6. Verse 6, because verse 6 onward talk about the message that the forerunner has to proclaim. Verse 6 says this, the voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? It's like, you know, the forerunner verse said, oh God, you called me to be a forerunner. So what should I say? What should I say? And then the Lord respond, okay, from verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 and 8, there are two messages. One is about the frailty of man. This talk about the eternal perspective. Okay, we need to cause the people of God to understand eternal perspective. That's what I put on my Facebook today is this. We will never fully understand issue of life, God's plan for us, pain in life, so on and so on, and what ministry is all about, unless we understand eternal perspectives, because everything that God works, his plan for us, ministry, and in this world, is in the context of eternal perspective. We will never fully understand about life, ministry, why we are here, why pain, why so on and so on. I tell you, if you don't understand eternal perspective, we always look for a quick, short solution. We will never fully understand. That's why as a forerunner, we have to talk about eternal perspective. And then, who is Jesus when he returned? That's why verse 6 says this. All flesh is grass. And all his loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withered. You know why the grass withered away? Everything in this age is temporal. Build on what is eternal. Same for ministry. Don't build ministry with the perspective. Another people ask me, hey, Kichong, so what kind of legacy you want to leave behind for one thing ministry? I say, no legacy to leave behind for one thing ministry. I'm not interested in my legacy. I'm interested about, we know that Jesus is coming back. That's it. That's it. And I always tell us, you know, Jesus come back, please don't wave the banner of one thing ministry. I deny you. Okay? No, wave the banner of Jesus. So that we understand. I have no interest with legacy. The day God is done with me, I'm done. I pack and go. That's it. Okay? Thank God he has not. Praise God. Okay? Yeah. Verse 7. The grass withers, the flowers fade, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are glad. Everything is temporal. Understand that. Everything. So then we have to understand, how do we build? How do we live our life? How do we build? Why are you here on earth when you go through all this struggle and so on? What this is all about? Then we understand. You know, at the end of the day, you know what God is building in us? Character. That's the kind of people that God is looking for. Character. And when we understand, we can. You know, yeah, I know. People always say, Kichong, you're different. You say this. You like pain. You think I like pain? No, no one like pain. I accept it. It's part of life. It's a process where God uses. Yeah. Like I'm going through some struggle physically and so on. Two struggle. I accept it. You know, I accept it. I mean, of course, I want to come out of it, but that accept doesn't mean, okay, die. Like, no. Yeah, die. No. I accept it. I understand this part of it. It's how do I live through this? How do I fight through this? That, I pain. Lamenting is going to help me anywhere. I'm praying for healing. I know it's kind of like sometimes I felt like, God, you know, am I into this 2 Corinthians 12 things? I asked you to deliver me from this thorn of the flesh. But I said, God, hopefully not. Hopefully not. Okay. But I understand this and I walking it through by the grace of God. You know, people say, why you don't complain? Complain doesn't help anything. I understand that God allows something to build me as a person. That's why he wants me. So I walk through. I walk through. No, I don't like pain. No, I wish that there's no such, in my dictionary, ask my wife, I cut out 2 words, impossible and but. Okay, I wish I could cut out the pain word too. but I can't because that's life. Okay, no, my dictionary, actually, I cut out but. You know, meaning my wife. Sometimes she says, hey, cut this thing out from my dictionary. She was quite upset. I cut out but, impossible. But I know I can't cut out the word pain because that's part of life. That's part of, no, do I like it? No. Then I'm really, you know, somewhere, some screw loose on my head. But I understand it's about God using something to prepare. I know young people don't like it. As you get older, you understand. Okay, so I pray for understanding, revelation, and meanwhile, grace. Okay, you see, I never pray that pain will go away. You can't know, hun. That's part and parcel of life. Okay, but that's why this message is so crucial. Eternal perspective. Then everything begins to make sense. We understand. Then we praise God because there is something far better and far further than this age where we are living. I tell you, everything is falling apart, Ron. I mean, you are young, don't worry. You'll come a time, you will feel old. You will feel that you cannot. I used to be able to run 10K, 15K, no problem. Next day, run again. Now, I cannot. Because my knee all are breaking apart. So we need to understand. So we understand. Why am I in this? Never mind. I mean, I'm just telling you. It's eternal perspective. That's one of the message. But the second one, most vital, more vital, or whatever you call it, is about who is Jesus. Verse 9. You know, I didn't finish verse 8. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, flower fades. Listen to this. The word of the Lord, the word of our God stands forever. In a sense that, build, understand what is eternal. Build on what is eternal. Build on what is eternal. Okay, verse 9. Verse 9, the message about who is Jesus. Who is Jesus? Verse 9. Oh, Zion, verse 9 is about proclaiming the second coming of Jesus. Oh, Zion, you who brings good tidings. Go up into the high mountain. It's like going up there. Go up to the highest point. Say it loudly. God, Jesus is about to return. That is our message. Okay. Go up to the high mountain. Oh, Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and not be afraid. Say to the city of Judah, behold, God is returning. Behold, He is coming. Okay, verse 10. We talk about Jesus as a bridegroom, king, and judge. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Talking about he will return as a warring king. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He will judge and distribute, inverted comma, rewards. Third one, verse 11, which is talking about intimacy because he will carry us gently. Verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm. He will and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with the young. That is our message. Bridegroom, king, and judge. That's why we've got to proclaim it. We've got to understand it. Turn to me to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Let me just define a little bit. Who is Jesus? The three revelation. Okay, there are three primary revelation when he returned. Not the only three, but the most prominent, most emphasized, most vital. Okay, not the fullness of who Jesus is, because there are about 300 over revelation of who Jesus is in the entire Bible. Okay, no, these are not the only three. But these are the three most prominent. These are the three most preeminent facets of who he is when he returned. And it's vital for us to know because a lot of things build around it. And everything is centered around Revelation 19. So I'm going to run through brief again. No time. Three. First one is, he is a passionate bridegroom. Write this now. He is a passionate bridegroom. Means one, he is one who is filled with burning desire for his people. He has a burning desire for his people. Two, he's a transcendent king. He's going to be the transcendent king when he returns. You know, I like this illustration. I always use it. When Jesus, right, it's the first coming, he right into What's that place called? Jerusalem. How can I forget Jerusalem? Oh, God, yeah. Right into Jerusalem, Matthew chapter 21. There are two times. Okay, no. Matthew chapter 21. He sat on the donkey. Behind got a few blur disciples following him. Okay. On his right hand, he carried a shepherd's staff. You know why? The first time he comes, he's a shepherd, savior, and servant. He went to the cross for us. Second time when he come, Revelation 19, he's going to ride on the white horse. On his right hand, he's going to carry the rod of iron because he's going to be a king and he's going to wage a war, and behind him, there'll be an army of God called the Bride of Christ. Victorious, okay? Transcendent king, the second one. He's going to be the transcendent king. One who will possesses all power and authority. I'll explain to you later. One who possesses all power and authority. The third one is the hardest. We are most uncomfortable. We are most unfamiliar. Righteous judge. He's going to return as a righteous judge. One who has great zeal to confront oppressions and remove everything that hinders love. He's going to come back as a judge. Okay, and all this it's vital because all these three revelations form the context of his return, in the sense of why he's returning. Whether he's bridegroom, king, and judge, when we understand it, we understand the context that he is returning. In a sense, help us to prepare so that we understand, so that we will not resist him. Again, it's all around Revelation 19. Okay, the first one. Who is the first? No, who is the first? Why is the first revelation? Who is Jesus when he returned? Bridegroom. And his day of, as a bridegroom, his day of return is called the wedding day. Why? Because he's returning for a mature bride who longs for him. That's what Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad, rejoice, give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Do you know that event is a crescendo of all human history? All human history, wait for the ultimate event, is the greatest event of all human history. The second greatest, of course, is his first coming. He's returning as a bridegroom. That's the context of his return. His day of return is called the wedding day. The wedding day. Okay. King. Why king? His day of return is called what? According to the scripture, as a king. The great day of the Lord. Joel 2 verse 11. And many places. Malachi chapter 4 verse 6 or verse 5. I can't remember. It's because he come back as a king, that day of return is called the great day of the Lord. Why? He's returning to fight the greatest military conflict. Do you know that human history will end? It's amazing. Human history will end with both a W. Okay, will end with a wedding. Will end with a war. He will return as a king, called the Great Day of the Lord, where he's going to fight the greatest military battle, called the Battle of Jerusalem, where he's going to defeat Antichrist, he's going to deliver Israel, and as a result, establish the kingdom of God, here on earth. That's why he's coming back as a king. The Father promised him in Psalms 2, I will give unto you nations as your possession. Ends of the earth will be your inheritance. And in Psalms 2 verse 6, it says that, this I have decided, I will set a king on Zion. He will return as a king and as a judge. As a judge. Why as a judge? The context is his day of return is called the judgment day. The great judgment day. As a judge. The day of his return will be called the Great Judgment Day. That's where Jesus is returning to bring forth justice here on earth. You're going to be the greatest justice movement here on earth. That's Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 to 9, where he's going to eradicate every oppression, every injustice, every sin and evil. He will be removed. I mean, not he will be removed. He will remove. Greatest justice movement here on earth. It's all centered around these three revelations. Form the picture. That's what the book of Revelation is about, is to prepare us to understand. That's why the first verse, turn to me to Revelation 1, verse 1. You know, I think sometimes over the year, I was actually praying very hard. Maybe one of the core conference, we're going to talk about the book of Revelation. You see, all kinds of teaching on the book of, not that I'm the best, I'm saying that we have to have an accurate understanding of the book of Revelation. Maybe one of the core, you know, I pray, God, which year? Maybe we say the book of Revelation. Yeah, that would be exciting. Revelation 1, verse 1. No, I believe this is the most important book that we need to know as we're approaching the return of the Lord. No, this book is not just about end time. This book is about Jesus. Who he is. Who is he when he returns? That's why Revelation 1, verse 1 says what? Revelation of the Acts of Apostles. Revelation of the Holy Spirit. No, read carefully. Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. This one is amazing. It's like, you know, Jesus asking the Father, can I have a permission so that I can reveal myself? And I give the revelation to the angel to reveal me. He's like, Father, can you allow me? I said, wow. No. I could ask permission, Joshua, can I introduce myself to Megan? Cannot. Okay, never mind. I thought you would say, okay, can. Okay, cannot, never mind. Okay. Okay, I'm just joking. Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The entire book is to reveal Jesus, who he is when he returned, what is his plan, what in his heart, what he is looking for. That's why from Revelation chapter 1, he came as the priest, a prophet, and the king, as he to prepare the church to understand. And as we progress in the book of Revelation, by the time we reach Revelation 19, it's so clear. Jesus is the bridegroom, king, and judge. The whole book is to prepare the church to understand who this man is, with the end result in verse 20, Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. We long for his return. That's why when Jesus said, I'm coming back quickly, John's response is, oh, hurry up, Jesus. Come back. Amen. Because I miss you. Because he can imagine that 3.5 years he was walking with Jesus. That's what 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 is all about. He said, oh, I remember the time I saw him. I hear him. I touch him. I encounter this word of life. That's why he prayed. Oh, come back, Jesus. I long for the 3.5 years where I walk with you, and that even the brief moment in Revelation chapter 1. Come back. Please, come back soon. That's what this book is all about, is to prepare us. Okay. That's why it's vital. Give me some scripture that emphasizes Jesus as a bridegroom, king, and judge. Just a few. There are a lot. Okay. I'll just give you a few, the major one. Turn with me to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. I'm going to just run through briefly. The idea tonight is not to go in deep, in great detail or deep teaching, because I have no time. Okay. Which I run through before, but I just run through briefly so they kind of stir our heart again to go back, to go deeper in understanding things. No, I didn't plan this. It's like, wow, you know, the call is coming. This will be exciting. I get excited. Okay, turn with me to Isaiah 61. Turn with me to Isaiah 9. I've been meditating on Isaiah 9. I tell you, Isaiah 9 is huge. I never mind, Isaiah 61. Another day. Isaiah 61. No, I know some of you know, there are a few words given to me that Jesus is going to encounter me this few weeks or whatever. I said, oh, can you come, you know, like Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 9. No, verse 6, no, verse, Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7. Will you come? Okay, so my favorite prayer, you know, Revelation 1 is Jesus come down, right? Revelation 4 is Jesus go up, right? My prayer is, right, is either I go up, you'll come down. That both doesn't matter. I go up is better. So if I go up, that'll be good. But why don't you come down? Okay. So I'm waiting for the encounter this few weeks. I'm praying and trusting. Okay. So but yet, you know, it's always a little bit scary. It's not high five. No, hi bro. No, it's an awesome king that is going to show up. So I'm anticipating. So sometimes I pray that it's a dream. You know why? Less intense. Yes, you don't understand. You know, if you're that full blast, oh, yeah. No, please, I'm not going to set boundary, Lord. You just decide. If I show you full blast, I take it. Okay, yeah. Just that if I reject you because I'm fearful, please understand. But just do whatever way. Dream, vision, encounter, walk in, I go up, you come down, anything goes. Okay. Okay, never mind. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, 62, 63 is one of the great messianic prophecy, okay, about Jesus, both first coming and second coming. Actually give us the clearest description of salvation in Old Testament, okay. When I say clearest description of salvation in Old Testament, we need to understand salvation is more than just when we die, we go to heaven. Salvation is about a king is about to return. Clearest description in three chapters. All three chapters describe three different facets of this messianic redeemer who is about to return. No, primary is about the second coming. I'm going to just show you a couple of verses because I don't have time. Tell me the Isaiah 61, verse 8. Isaiah 61 basically is talking about Jesus as a judge, where he's going to bring forth justice at the end of the earth. No, justice is not just punishment. Justice in the Bible, or our understanding of justice according to the word of God, is he is making right what is wrong. He's making right what is wrong. For example, all of us are supposed to have eternal life. So he's making right what is wrong. All of us not supposed to sick in the kingdom of God. He's supposed to be healing. He released healing. That's why sometimes you pray healing, you say, God, release your justice. Release your justice. Okay, it's about he will return as a judge, will bring forth justice here on earth individually as well as corporately. That's why you read his mandate. He talks about that. He'll be sent, God has sent him to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim the liberty to the captive, and so on and so on. Just go to verse 8. For I, the Lord, what? Love justice. I hate robbery. That's why I love the song. All authority. Oh, no, I'm not going to sing. I'm just going to give the lyrics. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. You love righteousness. You hate wickedness. Because he's coming back as a judge. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make them an everlasting covenant. He will return as a judge. Isaiah 62, verse 4 and 5. He will return. He's talking about Jesus as the bridegroom. That's why the term Hephzibah, Belua, because I will marry you. I like you. I can always imagine the Jewish people all fall down to the floor. Okay, verse 4.